Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday. We're already to the 20th of November. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Hello, everybody. Johnny B here.
Well, what is up, man?
Oh, man. I'm trying to enjoy the weather. I'm excited about the cold front that's coming through.
Well, nice. Don't get too overly excited. I know.
It's going to take a while to
get
here.
It's going to be a little fizzler.
A fizzler.
Just a little wind switch. It's cool Thanksgiving temperatures. We'll just call it a mild Thanksgiving from what I'm seeing so far. So,
not going to be hot and heavy in the cold.
No, and it won't be extremely hot. So we'll take what we get. As long as it's not raining or, you know, snowing.
Yeah.
We're good.
But the fog is quite dense, at least on the west side of town.
It's settling in over my way. It may be a froggy kind of morning. We'll just
froggy
see.
Day. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
With dew points and humidity and everything coming back into play with these easterly winds. Here we go. Mm-hmm. So we'll work it out. I'll find my way home this morning. Barely. All right, well, cool. It's good to be here. Glad to have you back in the box this morning, Johnny B. And we'll get rolling. All right, our sponsors for today's show, Texan Roofing, the Belleville Meat Market, Waymore Silencers, and McLean Trailers. All right, weather Galveston right now down on the island, down in G-Town, it's 70 degrees this morning. Today they're calling for sunshine and clouds mixed, slight chance of a shower. Looks like about a high of 76 today, east-southeast 10 to 15. Tonight a few clouds, low of 68, east winds 10 to 15. And then for tomorrow, east winds 10 to 20 with intervals of clouds and sunshine. And there is that slight possibility of a rain shower, about a 20%. So that's where we're at. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a low at 2:03 p.m. this afternoon. It's an 0.0 coming off a 1.7, so almost a 2-foot exchange there. And we have a high at 11:19 p.m. tonight at 1.6. Sunrise, 6:48 a.m. Sunset, 5:22 p.m. And our moon phase is quarter moon, 25%. Looking at current conditions right now, the buoy offshore showing a southeast wind at 11 to 13 miles per hour, 71 degree water, 72 air, 30.24 inches on the barometer. And looking at Eagle Point, it's north-northeast at 5 to 6, 67-degree water. Morgan's Point, 69-degree water with an east-northeast wind at 7 to 8 miles per hour. So, looks good. As long as we don't get a lot of fog rolling in here, we'll take what we can get here and move on with it. All right, well, let's get rolling. Let's get moving now. Let's go to the Hammer and see what he's up to this morning. Glenn, good morning. No Hammer?
Glenn, you there?
Yeah.
There you are. Hammer, you're up. You're up to bat, man. Get out of the on deck circle. Let's go. We got pitches to take.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it. The rock and roll, baby.
That's it. What's up?
Oh, good morning to you, Captain Mickey. I walked over to turn the radio down and
I missed it. Well, I'll forgive you.
But anyway, heck of a week, man. That front made things sun come rolling through here Sunday about 9:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. 25 to 30 miles an hour north northwest and blew out of the northwest for a day or so, and then it switched around northeast. But anyway, chilled off the kind of cooled off everything, and man, did it feel good.
Yeah.
I didn't see very many kayakers or anybody out with that wind blowing 25. It seems to.
I don't think
bay.
So. Oh, yeah.
You know, it seems to keep them at bay when it's real windy, but fair weather fishermen get out there and get what they can. Hey, Captain Mickey had a little incident yesterday. It started off great. Had breakfast with the wife and wanted to go for a little boat ride. We didn't have anything going on, so. Hey, man, we got the little doggy and loaded her up and headed on out to the bay. Well, we get down there, and it's somewhere between Drum Bay and Christmas Bay, and we're sitting there fishing. And, man, on the first and second cast, we caught a couple good trout. And all of a sudden, man, we hear this blah, 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 blah. And this boat is not moving, and it's throwing water up in the air in the back, and the guy's got it trimmed up, and he's sitting on top of a reef, and I go, uh-oh, this guy's done spun a prop, I guarantee it. I hear his motor, but he ain't going nowhere. So we sit there, and we made a few more casts, and Melinda goes, I really think he's in some kind of a bind. I look over there, and he's putting away from us, but he ain't going very fast. So I said, all right, pull anchor. Let's go see what we can do. And we go over there, and I said, hello. He goes, oh, he flagged me over. And I chased him, you know, across Christmas Bay just a little bit, to about a half a mile to catch up to him. And I said, you need some help? He goes, I sure do. My tilt and trim won't go down. And that's what it was. He was probably going to overheat the motor if he had kept driving it like that. But anyway, I said, need some help? He goes, heck yeah. And so we tied a rope onto him, and I pulled him all the way across from the west end of the lower end of Christmas Bay, down by Drum Bay, all the way across Christmas, through Cole Pass, all the way to the ramp at San Luis. And that took about an hour and a half to tow him over there. And bless his heart, gave me some gas money, and I appreciated it. And we headed on back, man. Melinda and I hopped in. We headed on back. We got back over in the Drum Bay. We threw the anchor out, and boom, boy, I caught me a nice trout. I said, oh, here we go. Well, nothing after that. So we got ready to move. Let's go to another spot. And by that time, it was pretty close to about 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock. And I went to crank the motor, it's almost like the starter drug a little bit, and nothing on the ignition, nothing. I looked around, my tilt and trim was working, all my lights were working. When I turned the key on, the whistle and all that stuff lit up, but it just, nothing through the ignition, man, nothing. So, well, I looked around. I said, I got to go this way, or I got to go this way and get over to the intercoastal, get out of this wind, and follow this current. Thank goodness, Captain Mickey, we had a super strong outgoing tide, and we had a good southeast wind. So I had the wind behind me and the current going, and we went from where we were over by Rattlesnake Island and Christmas Bay. We trolled all the way over to the intercoastal, and then all the way up the intercoastal, and not one boat stopped to ask. I had my cowling off of my motor, and I set it on the back of the boat, and I wasn't really flagging anybody down because I had that motor guide, Great White. It's a 36-volt, 109-pound thrust. It's a dinosaur. It's about to fall off the front of my boat, but, buddy, I'm praising it today. It got us all the way back, Captain Mickey, all the way back to the boat ramp and Surfside. I had never trolled that far in my life. I actually made a few casts up the Yellowstone Canal, but didn't do any good. So, hey, man,
What was your issue? Is it a battery? The battery just go bad?
No, you know, no matter how much I charge my two cranking batteries, the starter has always felt like it was dragging. You know what I mean? It just wrong, you know, and it'll crank. But it never, you know, never, for a long time, it's been kind of weakish, I guess. I think the starter locked up on me, or it's either that or something in the kill switch. You know what I mean? Because it's, like I said, I got power everywhere.
Well, the kill switch, all it does is kill fire to the engine, you know, as far as the spark plugs firing.
Mm-hmm. But it won't turn it over.
Yeah, you'll still be able to spin over. It just won't start with the kill switch disconnected.
Yeah, it's not doing anything, man.
You either got a starter dragging, you know, that's gone bad on you or some kind of issue.
I got a feeling that's what it is. Matter of fact, I'd already
I mean, will it still try to click or turn over? Can you hear it clicking back there?
No, sir, not anything. Not anything. It's real quiet. Nothing clicking, no solenoid, no nothing coming from any, you know, when I turn
maybe there's a fuse link going to your solenoid or whatever. At least the solenoid should click, even if the starter won't turn.
Right. But it's just not. It's something right there in the ignition, I guess. But anyway, I'd called my trip for today and tried to cancel on him. He wouldn't even let me cancel, man. I said, look, I'm broke down. He goes, well, I got a shallow sport. We're going in my boat. He wanted
well,
to
there you go.
He's going to take his father-in-law today, and he don't
go
want
make your money. You'll need it to fix your boat.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. I said, man, look, we're not going in your boat. I'm trying to make me a paycheck. He goes, you're going to make a paycheck. All you got to do is point. So I'm not even going to take a rod and reel today. It's I don't know. I think it's probably an 18, 19 foot shallow sport, but there are going to be three of us on there anyway today. So I don't know, man. I helped one guy out, and then my stuff went south, and that's the way it is with a boat. BOAT, break out another thousand. So
yes,
but
sir.
I've been very, very fortunate, Captain Mickey, because when you use them and run them, you have not near the problems if you're going to let it set up. And I mean it. I got to brag about my stuff because very little downtime. Knock on wood. This is just a little issue, and we'll get through it. I called the boat mechanic. He said they're pretty busy, but he'll get me in there. So I'm as soon as I get back in this morning from this trip, and I'm going to run her right over here. It's about a mile away from the house, and let them have it until they figure out what it is. And I hate putting it in the shop. I wish I could figure it out, but I've only got certain tools. And man, I look down in there where that starter is, and that's a pretty tight little area on those Hondas. I don't know, man. Better let somebody else qualify and do it. But that's what we're going to do. I'm going to get it over there today. And like I said, thank goodness I never got rid of that old trolling motor, and it still works. And you know, I still had battery to spare. I guarantee you, I'm going to clock it. And it's every bit of 7 miles, if not 7 or 8 miles, that we trolled. And I mean, that's that. And still have battery left. I can't say them enough for a 36-volt trolling motor. You know, and I've had it for a long, long time. And I've had to replace the card in the top part of it, and I've had to replace the stuff in the bottom part of it, and it's all rusted. It's got rust falling off the lower end of the trolling motor, but hey, that baby got us to the house, man, and I was so proud of it. Never had to flag anybody over, man. Nobody even asked if I needed any help. I had barges coming around me. Oh, man. They had a crane. We had a couple of boats in the Intercoastal Canal right here by the Surfside Bridge that were sunk. And they had buoys out there to where you could go around them. But it's still, it was a hazard. They've had a crane down there for about 3 days, and they picked them up and put them on a barge. We took pictures of it. They were headed on towards Galveston with all those old wrecked boats they drug out of the Intercoastal Canal and cleaned it up a little bit for them down here. So, hey, man, the bait camps, it was kind of slim on the live bait yesterday afternoon. I looked around, and not too many white flags flying, so if you're a bait fisherman coming in the area, you probably want to get here halfway early just in case they do have some live shrimp. And There's going to be some dredging going on towards the end of the month, November. What was that, Melinda? November 30th, they're going to be dredging the San Luis Pass boat ramp, everybody. So who's all launched down there, they all know that it's kind of shallow at the mouth right there at Cold Pass where you come into the boat ramp there at San Luis. It's real shallow and it's kind of tricky. So they're going to be dredging that thing out of there November 30th.
Yeah.
And it's going to spend 2 or 3 days or a week doing that. But, man, I wish I caught me a few nice trout, but just had a heck of a day. What can you say, man? I'm going out and try it again today.
Well, you got back to the dock alive. That's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, yes, sir.
Well, good luck, sir, with your guy today, and hope you get your boat thing worked out. And somebody wants to call you, Glenn, give them a number out, bud.
Yes, sir. They can reach me at 713-208-0680. Ain't going to miss Johnny B, man. Great guy.
Yeah, we are. His life will never be the same.
Future, man. Good luck.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Captain Mickey.
Thank you, Glenn. See you, man.
Yes, sir.
Take care. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 418 in the Bayou City. All right. Let's go down Matagorda Way. Let's see what's up with old Tommy Alexander this morning. Captain Tommy, what's up?
What's up, Captain Mickey?
Not a lot. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. I'm awake. I'm alive. Everything's good.
Another day with feet on the ground.
Feet on the ground.
Gonna hit the ground running.
Gonna go check it out, man.
Check it out.
Yep. It's been pretty consistent over here. I mean, there was a day or two that were slow, but even on the days that were slow, we still, you know, you still caught your fish.
Still got what you needed. His blog says we got what we needed.
That's exactly right. Even the days that were slower, we got what we needed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just, I don't know. And I started catching some of those, you know, bigger Gulf trout or sand trout, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
I caught some this week. I caught several pretty big ones this week.
Well, that adds to a box.
I'm not sure. Like I said, I don't really know the difference. I know it's on the tongue. There's those little spots. And then,
well, it's the anal fin has the ribs in it, you know, the little lines in it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember how it goes. A sand trout has 9, a guff trout has 7 or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But you can tell the difference,
something,
you know, when
tongue,
you look at them that way.
Spots or something on the side of his tongue or something.
Really?
But that's what a biologist told me at the harbor one time. Something,
okay.
On the tongue. I don't know, but I don't think the sand trout get that big anyway, do they? You know, if it's over 12 inches or so,
They used to up here. We used to catch sand trout to go 2 pounds easily. My mom caught one time. It was almost 5 pounds, and it was a sand trout, not a guff trout.
I don't know what exactly these were, but I've caught some pretty big ones this week. You know, so I measured one, it was 17 and a quarter, had a couple, you know, 16 and a half, 17 inches.
Well, I'll take those all day long.
I had a couple of those that were bigger than some of the specs.
Yeah.
But
yeah, those would be considerably bigger than some of the trout I've been catching lately. Boy, we got a lot of little dinks.
Well, yesterday I did have a dink issue at first. everything I fished, we were catching little either 8-inch sand trout or 12 to 14-inch specks. I probably threw back 3 limits of 14-inch specks yesterday morning. Then I moved around some. Anyway, long story short, we caught them. We ended up finding some better fish, but it just didn't start out. They started out kind of slow. I mean, not slow, but small fish. We were catching them, but they were small.
Right.
You know, but it all worked out. Getting a couple reds each day mixed in. I had 2 yesterday. I don't know. Every day I'm getting 2 or 3 keeper reds, you know, mixed in each day.
Yeah.
some friends of mine caught a bunch of flounder yesterday. They'd power pulled down on a little spot, and you only keep two a person, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept their two each. It was two of them. They kept their two each, but he said they threw back another 8 or 10 good flounder.
Yeah, they got on a lot of them then.
Yeah, he said they just sat right there and caught them. Yeah, he said it was pretty solid. They had their trout too somewhere else, but they found a little stacked up pile of them flounder. So
yeah.
Life's good. I mean, you know, I would say there's still a lot of people down here. There's still more than normal during the week, but I feel like the pressure did go down a little bit since hunting season started.
Sure.
It's a little better. Still a lot of people, though, for middle of the week, you know.
Yeah, I did see the guys at Flounderfish. I saw some good catches of flounder yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my buddies kept their four, and they had, you know, they were all like 19 to 21 inch flounder, all four of the ones that they kept.
Solid.
They threw back several, he said. He said they left them, I mean, they pretty much left them biting. I don't think they just didn't want to kill any more of them in case they hooked them bad.
Right.
Basically, I think they just left them biting. So, but we've even, you know, another weird thing too, I know it's because it's been warm, but we've caught some hardheads.
Ooh.
And we've caught three hardheads on tails in the bay. Here it is, basically Thanksgiving, still got hardheads in the bay.
Yeah, you'd think that would be over with by now.
We had three of them yesterday.
I need to leave.
One on a gulp, or two on a gulp, and one on a regular, on a little John.
Hmm.
Yeah. I found that. And in sharks, too.
Still got some gray suitors, huh?
Yeah, another guy caught one about a couple days ago, a pretty good-sized black tip. And then I caught one about a week ago that was, probably 15-pound black tip in the middle of East Bay.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
I think the latest, I caught one up by the spillway up my way one time, wade fishing on the topwater. Man, it was early November, you know, and I was shocked. I'm going, man, we'd had a cold fall that year, and I'm going, I can't believe this fish is still in the bay. You know, it was like that, like you were talking about, probably a 12, 15-pounder, little black tip.
I had a girl that caught this one and said, I didn't figure we were going to get it in. She wanted to take a picture if we could get it in.
Yeah.
And I up to where I could net it, so I netted it head first.
Yeah.
Well, that was a mistake because it bit a hole through my net.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I grabbed a hold of it and bit a hole through my net. Yeah,
I was waiting. I got that blow up on it. I think I caught that shark on a super spook. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I thought, man, got the one I've been looking for. Turned out it was a nasty shark.
Yeah, so we still got all that stuff in the bay.
Healthy resource.
Everything. Drums, still catching. I mean, got drums, we got it all.
Well, drum are a significant sign of a healthy bay system. When you've got a lot of black drum, you've got some good things going on.
I've caught two or three of them on tails this week.
Well, you know they're thick then. There's a lot of them if you're catching them on tails. That's a fact.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Awesome.
That's about it. We're going to keep going.
Anybody popped a big fish lately? Big speck?
Yeah, I mean, that one Bink had a week or two ago was pretty big. And then
I saw the picture of that. That was a good-looking fish. That was a nice fish. That was over 8 pounds, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he said it was eight pounds, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And there was another guy I know that caught one weight another day that was, I don't know what he said it weighed, but it was a big one.
Yeah.
7-8 and it's pounds.
Those are going to get more common the colder it gets. Get that water cold right. And steadily cold for a while without all these warming trends, and they'll be a little more prevalent, especially in shallow water.
I've released a couple pretty decent ones. You know, I mean, not that big, but like 5 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I released a 5-pounder a couple days ago out there drifting on a little gun.
We catch a 5 or better up here. We call it a chronicle.
So we're gonna fish all the way. Well, I fish every day till Thanksgiving, and then I'm off 2 or 3 days there and go at it again.
Yeah, I'm gonna light out of here and go south and do a little hunting for a while, and then come back and go back to fishing until Christmas time, and then go back down there.
You after anything particular, or are you just going?
No, I'm just going hunting, man. There's some cull stuff that needs to be shot, and my freezer is very bare, and I'm going to definitely make a pass by the Belleville on the way back to town, drop off some meat. I'm in a replenish mode right now. But, hey, old Big walks out, he'll definitely get rolled.
He'll
eat just as good as those culls will.
Yep.
But it's something different. Break up the monotony. It's time to do something else for a little bit.
Go hunt.
Yes, sir. How's Bink doing on the ducks?
Oh, I think it's pretty usual. He pretty much limits out every day.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing over here, too. We got the bird hunting, you know, waterfowl's been really good this year for most. And I've been hearing a lot of ducks, a lot of gadwalls. Man, I'm telling you, gadwalls, widgeon, a few pintails. Teal are kind of spotty right now. But some blinds, they're mowing them down early in the mornings and then having to kind of back off of them so they can get some big ducks.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tough problem to have.
I don't know what he's shooting, but I know they pretty well get them every day.
Yeah.
I'll try to
hook up with him tomorrow, get him early before, you know, he gets in the blind, see what's up with him.
Yeah, I know he's hunting. He's hunting today.
Well, I wish you the best out there fishing today, man. Keep it rolling. It's all good. Life's good.
That's what I'm going to do.
Anytime a man can get up and put his feet on the ground and go fishing every day, life is good.
That's right.
All right, buddy. Well, Tommy, if somebody wants to call you about coming down and hooking up with you, man, give them out a number.
Yes, sir. I'm booking some. I need some more December trips. I'm booking December right now. So give me a call. You can look me up, Captain Tommy Alexander, but the best way is just give me a call at 979-709-8242.
All right, bud. Check well, Tommy, out. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Mickey.
Thank you, Tommy. Day. See you, bud. All right, take care. Be safe. All right, that's Captain Tommy Alexander down in Matagorda.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
What are you coon hunting again?
Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't ever going to run out of coons up there, man, no matter how many you kill.
I know. I keep feeding them about 5 tons of corn a year. I don't know why in the heck they're showing up. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, them rascals, they get pretty dang wild out here and taking over, so you got to clean the herd every once in a while.
Well, I bet they're fat rascals, corn-fed.
You ain't kidding. These tongue guns are. They are just...
Get out of here, you furry bastard.
Johnny B.
He slipped that one in on us, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Turkey.
ever gotten out one of those little Fox Pro calls and put the crow call on?
Put the fighting crows on there. There won't be a crow. You won't see one within miles, and in 5 minutes, you got crows coming in.
everywhere. I mean, they come flocking in. You put that
Johnny Stewart.
Goodness, I tell you what, that's something else I'm excited. That is hilarious. I sit around the house and I'll do that every once in a while. I'll put that thing in the yard. And like you said, there won't be a crow around. And you've got that thing on, and here they come. I mean, and they're diving and bombing and wanting to know what's going on and who's fighting.
Oh, they're coming in there ready to fight, man. At least watch the fight.
I did. It is comical as it can be.
Boy, that's some cheap redneck entertainment right there.
It is, isn't it?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 435 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down to South Padre. Let's see what old Brian Brer is up to. Captain Brian, what's up, man?
Morning, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm good. And you?
Oh, just hanging out, getting up, moving around, getting ready to run my charter for the day.
There you go.
I got to go chase some snook, maybe one of those little juvenile tarpon or something, see if we can get lucky.
Yes, sir. Trout tackle, light tackle, and catching those small tarpon, it don't get any better than that. That's a lot of fun. And a big snook mixed in with it doesn't hurt either. That's good stuff, man.
Yep, a little something different. You know, I've been out there hammering down on the redfish the last, 3-4 days, redfish and trout. Caught a nice big trout yesterday. Bunch of redfish, lots of limits of redfish and stuff. Drifting, shallow, clear water. Fight's been on, throwing lures, little artificial 4-inch jerk baits, and it's been on pretty good. We've been catching way more than our limit of redfish each day, releasing a bunch.
Yeah,
some days we're killing them, some days we're just playing catch and release depending on the clients,
right?
And, the good thing about it right now is the spot that I've been at, there's been both redfish and trout in the mix, so it's been pretty good. We've been catching a ton of speckled trout with some nice redfish in the mix, so it's awesome.
Well, I like what I'm hearing there.
Yeah, the shallow, clear stuff, it's happening. It's been actually the shallow. There's this big old patch, this big flat that's really crystal clear, and there's just a small little 100-yard stretch in it, that's real chalky, and just a little bit more murky than the rest of the stuff there, and that's where it's at. It's where they're loaded up in there, in that chalky stuff.
Right.
Well,
last week when I talked to you, you were deer hunting and bass fishing at the deer lease. Did you see any good deer?
We saw two nice 10-pointers that we let go. They weren't ready. They still got another year or so. And that's about it. I mean, we saw some smaller 8-pointers and a lot of does and a bobcat and stuff. But, man, it's so darn hot. You got about till 9 a.m. in the morning to hunt. And you don't got until like an hour before dark till the deer start coming out. It was so darn hot. And my friend who was at the ranch saw a group of like 4 8-pointers, like all hanging out together. So they're still kind of doing their thing when they hang out together, not really chasing anything yet, but we didn't see anything worth shooting, but we did catch a bunch of huge bass. So that was pretty awesome.
How big a bass?
I tell you what, I broke the little pond, my own personal little pond record there, and I caught one that was about 6.5 pounds.
That's nice.
I caught it on a little soft plastic. It was pretty awesome. Texas rigging it.
Right.
We were also doing a lot of like crank baiting and stuff like that in there. It's a pretty cool little place. Rattle traps usually work the best, but as far as the numbers go. But to get the big ones, we like to throw the crank bait or the big, soft plastic Texas rig,
worm or
lizard or whatever the heck's going on. So, I love that place. But, it's almost like cheating. It's a stocked pond and stuff. But it's just nobody's fished it for like 10 or 15 years, So.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah,
I like that, too. I like catching them ditch pickles. I like it. It's fun.
Yeah, I freaking like it. They jump a lot, and they're pretty cool. Of course, I'd rather catch a big old redfish or something like that, but when they're biting on almost every cast out there at the little ranch pond, it's hard to leave. You almost don't want to go hunting sometimes. you know, just like me, the tug is a drug, and if that bite is on, it's pretty hard to pull you away from it, whatever.
Well, yeah, no matter beats going and sitting in a hot deer stand, you know. If it's warm like that, might as well fish.
Yeah, I know. You almost got to be sitting in your underwear in that deer stand if you're going to be somewhat comfortable.
We,
you know,
picked a
mean?
Guy up one time, and he climbed out of the blind. He threw his clothes down on the ground. He climbed out of the blind. All he had on was his hunting boots and his drawers. No shirt or nothing. Yeah. Going only in, yeah, South Texas.
I picked up my dad one time, and he had three squares cut out of his white T-shirt. And I was like, why'd you cut three squares out of your white T-shirt? He's like, you don't want to know, son.
That way, well, we know what that was about.
He had to take a restroom break or something.
That's it. It happens.
Yeah, yeah. Things you do, oh, to boy. Shoot a deer, man.
What happens at the deer lease stays at the deer lease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
well, it looks, yeah, looks like a mild winter so far, so you may have a banner year on snook and juvenile tarpon.
Yeah,
this weather stays
the
like
juvenile
this.
Juvenile tarpon I'm on right now are, you know, there's a bunch of them, and they're pretty happy. They're eating a lot, you know. But the thing about it, where I fish for them in the Brownsville Ship Channel is where I've been chasing these things lately.
Yeah.
It changes in there constantly. That's the thing about that place in there, because it's a working environment in there. There's boats moving around, and there's people, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, they're tearing down ships and stuff like that, and unloading huge things, and I'm in there fishing, and, you know, you never know, like, what's going to happen. Like, I've been on those tarpon for, like, a whole week I was on them, and then I pulled in there 2 days ago, and I was seeing them roll around, and we were, like, working our way in there real slow with the trolling motor. Sun was barely coming up, and I start getting flashed by a huge barge with their big old spotlight. I pull out of the way.
Yeah.
Barge pulls up and parks right on top.
Right on top where you were fishing.
And starts, yeah, and starts throwing all of its thrusters around and stuff, you know. And just, like, ruined it. And I was out there, like, extremely confident. This is where we're going. This is where we're going to spend half of our day. We're going to catch our fish right there. And then, boom, it gets taken away from you in the first 5 minutes, and you just got to start back at square one. And you got your client sitting right next to you, you know, so that's kind of how it can be there in the ship channel. One day it's there, one day it's gone.
It happens. It's
Yep, but you got to be, that's how you got to be able to move around, you know.
Man.
I'll throw all my clients a curveball who like to go in there and fish all my spots. So sometimes they go back in there and it's all blocked off, and they call me and say, darn, your spot was blocked off. And I say, well, that's what you get for going back in there. It's funny.
Well, anything else special going on down there? I guess it gets a little colder. Y'all will start popping some more big trout anyway.
Yep. Well, I mean, I did two trout over 27 inches this week on my charters.
That's pretty good.
Like, really. Yeah, nothing like outrageously huge or anything, you know, but that's a pretty good trout to me. I really kind of could start considering them trophy trout after they get above 28
inches. Well, that's a lifetime fish for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, the guy who caught it, you know, he read an article that I was in the Saltwater Angler magazine, or like, I forget, Saltwater Sportsman magazine in Idaho. And he and his family booked a week in South Padre just to come fish with me for 3 days from Idaho, you know.
Amazing.
Which is crazy. Yeah, and he came down here and you know, we did the thing and he had a darn good time. You know, he'd never caught redfish before, and he just wasn't sure. He didn't know what the tug was going to be like on the redfish. He's just catching trout in the river, and I love taking those guys redfish and letting them get that 29-inch redfish that and not throwing bait or nothing like that, or they're not going to hit hard, but you're throwing like a lure or a jerk bait where that redfish is going to smash that thing going the opposite way, you know? And then there's no turning back to those poor guys whenever they got to go home and go back to catching cutthroat trout in the stream,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
They don't have many fish like that in Idaho. That's
No, they don't. No, they don't. He says that they got some nice little bass and stuff that they catch there, but nothing like these bull reds we were catching. You know, he must have caught, you know, 10 bull reds on the first trip.
Dang.
Or 10 redfish on the first trip with a couple of bull reds mixed in and a ton of trout. And then he landed that big trout.
Right.
Yesterday, he had a big old trout come off right by the boat. Another, like, you know, 27-plus-inch fish. I caught one around that range and released it yesterday. know, so that they're all in the same little spot. So they're hanging in there. So it's a, you can imagine how nice and pleasant of a spot it is where you're catching limits of redfish, limits of trout, bull reds, and 27-plus-inch trout in the same drift, you know. So now that I'm talking about it, actually making me realize how nice of a spot it's been to me the last couple of days, you know.
Man, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that was some good fishing right in there. Tons of schools of mullet swimming around the boat, jumping out in front of you, you know.
Yeah, y'all's mullet run still going on?
No, no, but our bay is loaded with mullet, you know, because of the mullet run.
Yeah.
They're in there, it's like the stable. They're not like pouring in the inlet or anything like that anymore. Not that I know of. I mean, it's been like 6 foot waves up there, so I haven't got to go and hang out.
Yeah, that old surfman been a little stirred up.
Yep. I'll tell you what, I'm ready to go start doing some near shore wreck fishing and stuff like that with a snapper and things. With the wintertime fishing gets really good for those state water snapper and stuff.
Yeah, it does. At this time of year, you get it calm and go out there and get your four snapper apiece. That's a bonus, man.
Yeah, I'm waiting for some calm days like that. And, you know, in January, the grouper kind of come in. From what all the offshore guys are telling me, the grouper come in to spawn in the shallow wrecks and stuff. And I love going to those shallow wrecks and trying to pull up that big old gag grouper. You know, I go out there with some fish bites and I throw off to the side of the wreck on the sand and pull up a couple sand trout and put a 10-0 circle hook on those things and drop them down and hold on, you know, for a nice 20-pound gag grouper. Those things are pulling hard. That's, you know, super fun to do that. Trying to get them out of the wreck. You land about one out of every five you hook, but still pretty darn fun even getting your butt kicked by them, you know. It's good to get your butt kicked by a fish every once in a while. Wake you up a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's gotten too easy for me fighting all these redfish and crystal clear sand flats that there's not an oyster in sight and they can use 10-pound braid and light drag, you know.
I'll take that easy stuff. That's fun catching fish like that in that pristine water.
Yeah.
Those fish light off so beautiful in that, you know, with the blue tails and copper backs and makes for a pretty
amazing.
Pretty fight,
it's amazing,
you know.
To see those trout, yeah. And you watch them in that clear stuff coming in, you know. If you see my Facebook, I put a couple videos of the clear water. You'll see the clear stuff I've been fishing in lately. But, you know, it's pretty amazing to see when you're in that crystal clear water how you can let a trout go or a redfish go. And there's only like 6-8 inches of grass, and that fish will go down and disappear into that grass right before your eyes under the boat. You know, like they can hide in that grass a lot better than I thought they could.
Oh, yeah. That's their domain,
you know, like,
down
I feel
there.
Like whenever you whenever you catch a fish, you give it a good fight, you know, and it gets tired, you wear it down, you let it go. Those things usually just go and swim right down into the grass and hang out for a little while, disappear. Hope a dolphin doesn't find them for the first 10, 15 minutes and then start cruising around again, I guess.
Yeah, and those trout are so pretty in that clear water when they glide by the boat and you can see every dot on them. They're just lit up, too.
Yeah, real iridescent, you know, purple.
That iridescent purple and all that hue that comes off of them, yellow mouth, man, that's really cool.
Yep.
I guess that's what makes us so obsessed. That's our obsession.
Yep, and, you know, this time of year down here is when I start fishing that clear water a lot, that clear to just slightly stained water a lot, you know, because once it starts getting a little bit cooler outside, and by cool, I mean like 80 degrees and not 103.
Yeah.
You know, cool.
80's cool down there, man.
Yeah, I mean South Texas cool, and 80 degrees, I got my pants and my hoodie on out there.
Right.
I turned soft being down here for so long, I can't handle the cold weather anymore. But
you should have been in the boat with me Tuesday morning, man. It was 43. That was a little bit of shock after, you know, 80-degree days and then blasting off that morning up my way on the north end. It was 43 degrees. A little chilly.
Wow. Yeah, it's a bit much for me. That's deer hunting weather now.
Yeah, for South Texas.
Deer blind all day.
Yeah, you got that right. Well, that's,
yeah, this cooler months, those redfish really like to hang out in that clear water. And I enjoy catching them during the wintertime because they're just in that crystal clear, shallow stuff, you know.
Sun in there. They just light up.
3 feet. Yeah. Yeah, really, really lit up.
You know, when our water gets cold, you know, in the wintertime, it gets real clear like that. And we have to look for streaking water, you know, off-colored areas. You know, the bait'll stir it up with the currents, you know, with the tide moving over shell reef and the silt and everything. It'll make like a, you know, just an area of discolored water, and it's real off color, and the bait hides in it, and the fish are always in it, and that streaking stuff. That's what we do in the winter, look for streaks.
That's basically what I've been fishing them in, you know, a little chalky, somewhat stained area between two clear spots, you know. So that's how it's been happening for me pretty good.
Yeah, and when you compare the two where you're at and up here, y'all's chalky water is our clear water.
Yeah, so it's chalky, but I can still see a crab walking around on the bottom of it if I look. But, yeah, a little bit soft.
Yeah, we had some pretty water Tuesday morning. You know, we could see our feet in waist-deep water. It was nice. Real pretty. Real pretty. Well, you got any predictions on any big fish this winter? Double-digit type speckled trout to target?
Man, I'm going for them. I'm always gunning for the
big trout. Oh, I know you're going for them.
Yeah,
but I mean, y'all's resource looks good. You know, Tori, you got a lot of fish like that to fish for?
Yep, I believe so. I've caught more trout over 30 inches between myself and my clients this year than we have in a few years, you know. We've done
a lot. That's good to hear. That's
great. 30-plus inch fish this year. And numerous, you know, tons of like 27, 28-inch fish, you know. But the real big trophies, 30-plus inch fish, I've been catching a lot of them this year, and I've been catching them in the heat, you know, even. Like I told you, remember we got that one that was almost 10 pounds, 30-plus inches, and in September in the heat, you know. And so it only makes me feel how good the winter is going to be. There's going to be some things happening. I think people can catch some really good ones. Of course, to me, you know, the first full moon of March is always when I catch my biggest one.
Yes.
You know, if you're like really, that's like to go out and catch one true monster. If you're trying to come out and catch, you know, a couple of really nice trout or on average a heavier poundage trout, then, you know, December through February is a really good time to do that.
Yeah, they'll put that weight on this winter. You know, they'll forage up and gain that weight for the winter. And, boy, come early spring, it's a good time to pop you a really stud fish.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to do some big trout fishing this winter.
Well, cool deal. Well, Brian, if somebody wants to come your way and come down to South Padre, it's really nice down there. Fish and play golf, do whatever you want to do in the afternoons. It's pretty good stuff. How do they get a hold of you?
Yes, sir. Appreciate the time. Inshore Fishing, southpadre.com is my website. If not, you can call me or text me, area code 956-755-9413, or all the social media stuff as well.
All right. Well, cool. Well, Brian, always a pleasure, and you have a good weekend. Always enjoy talking to you, and catch them up, man. Hope you pop one.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. You have a good one.
Okay, Brian. Take care. See you, bud. All right. That's Captain Brian Brer down in South Padre. Really nice young man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.